In the 13th chapter of John, we read about Jesus washing the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. We read that Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, now showed them the full extent of his love. He poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When he finished washing their feet, he returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master. No messenger is greater than the one who sent him. Once you know this, you will be happy." In that story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, we have a beautiful lesson of ministering. Jesus washing the disciples' feet was a sign and a symbol of the fact that Jesus ministered to his disciples' needs. There was no task or job too lowly or too demeaning for the Lord. He was Savior. He would wash them clean of their sin, heal them of their sickness, unburden them of their guilt, and he would wash them clean. And he tells them that this is an example for them, that they now are to go out and do as he did, to minister. The word minister is the word to serve. When Jesus speaks of ministering, we speak of serving. Serving one another in love, meeting the needs of one another. And to every need within the community, there is a ministry. And so if there is sickness, there is the ministry of healing. And I'd like to ask the question and explore this aspect of the healing ministry. Why does healing need to be ministered person to person? Can the person go directly to God in prayer? Will not God answer directly a person in need? Why this mandate and this commission to lay on hands and to pray for one another? I think, first of all, if we ask, will God answer prayer if the person goes directly to God, the answer is yes, of course he will. He always has and he always will. God does answer prayer. And most of the stories that we have had and case histories that we have had about healings have taken place when someone, for example, made a novena. Someone knelt down and prayed, either for himself or for another, and God answered that prayer. But I think what we're talking about in the healing ministry is the will and the plan of God as it is unfolded in Scripture. We're talking about what Jesus wants for his church, what Jesus has given over to his community as both a commission and an inheritance, what we possess as a believing community from the hands of Jesus as his will and his ordinary plan for us. And you think of the sacraments, the seven pillars of the church, the very constitutive elements that make up the church. And one of those sacraments is the sacrament of healing, the anointing of the sick for healing. Not the sacrament of the dying, but the sacrament of the sick. And it has been very much part of the essential tradition of the church to pray one-on-one for the sick man and to pray for his healing. And on beyond that sacrament, there is the will of God that the community minister one to another, that the sick man, the sick woman, should be able to turn to his or her brothers and sisters within the community and seek a healing touch. And I'd like to make a comparison here. and one that in my mind at least is quite valid. And it's the comparison to hunger. Why are there so many hungry people in the world? Why is there so many starving people in the world? And I think the answer is that there is not hunger in the world because there is not enough food. We cannot say that there is hunger in the world because we lack the technology, the ingenuity, and the human capacity to grow food. According to the United Nations, there is enough food grown in the world today already to feed everyone, according to a very high standard. And we, of course, have the ingenuity and the technology to grow food where it's needed, even in desert regions through irrigation. The problem is not the lack of food. The problem is not the lack of technology. The problem is more a question of greed, of selfishness, of the lack of motivation. It's a crushing, an immobile bureaucracy. It's a problem of distribution. There's a whole host of problems and difficulties. And so men starve. And yet we say, why doesn't God feed the hungry? And yet down deep we don't expect that God is simply going to let it rain food, because we know that it is within the ordinary will of God that man feed man. That we take up what is humanly ours in the way of intelligence and ingenuity, capabilities, and we solve the problem with the weapons, the tools, the gifts that God has given us. And even though I am sure that some people have prayed for food and food has come miraculously to them, we understand, very simply, that it is within the ordinary will and plan of God that food be grown, and that man uses human capabilities of intelligence, knowledge, ingenuity, to grow, to develop agriculture. And I think the same kind of comparison can be made with healing. Why are there so many sick people in the world? Why is there so much suffering? Is it because God doesn't care? I think that's not exactly the right answer or response. There is suffering in the world because God has willed, according to his plan, and for his own reason, that people minister to people. He has given us the gifts of healing. He's given us the power to heal. He's given us the authority to heal. He sent us forth with a commission and a mandate to go out and lay hands upon the sick that they might be healed. And yet, somehow, the problem isn't that we don't know how, or that we don't have the capacity or the gift or the authority. The problem is more the prejudice, the fear, the anxiety, and the lack of motivation that people simply pray for healing with faith. And God, for his own reason, simply calling us forth with deep patience, waiting for us to take up what is rightfully ours and what he has given us and called us to, and do what he has asked us to do, minister to the sick with prayer and with a healing touch. You know, we understand very well about ministering to the sick through medicine, that this must be done person to person, and that if doctors don't use their trade, their art, to heal, if medicine isn't applied, we understand that so many sicknesses will go unhealed. And yet the same is true on a different level with prayer. We are expected to pray for healing, to very simply do it. And I think that God is calling us in this day, in this age, and in this epoch, to highlight the ministry of healing prayer. And I see a couple of reasons for this. One is that this whole understanding of healing prayer is part of a much deeper current of God's Spirit in the church today. We are being called to recognize in a whole new way, with a whole new depth, the meaning of community. We are a body. This is the body of Christ. Each one who is a believer is a part of the body of Christ, and therefore a part of each other. We need one another, and there is no one who is complete without the rest of the body. Now, I think in the past, our whole concept of Christianity was very much individual or individualistic, very isolated. There was that one-on-one, me and God. And when I went to church, even at the Eucharistic celebration, and this kind of thinking is so prevalent in the church today, we gather not as a community or as a body, but so often as a grouping of individuals, each one with his own prayer. We see the church in the last 10 years trying to call us to a deeper sense of coming together in a community, to pray as a body, not each one isolated praying to God in his own heart, in his own way, with his own individual prayer, but with one united prayer, because we are all parts of one another, and we all need each other. We have to recognize the body. We have to recognize that we are parts of each other, incomplete without the rest of the body. And I can remember a woman who had been part of a renewal movement, whose faith had been renewed, and who had a much deeper sense of God's love for her and God's presence in her life. And at a certain point, she left the community in which she had been involved. And her thinking, I think, was very typical. She said that now she had a sense of God's working in her life, she had a sense of God's presence, and she didn't need the community anymore, that simply she was to go home to live her life as she had before, only this time she had an added sense of God's presence. And so she went back to her Christian isolation, her own individual relationship to God, isolated from the rest of the community. And I think in doing that, she was so typical of so many who consider Christianity as simply that one relationship with God, separate from the community. And then she got cancer, and she prayed to God for healing, and she made novenas, and she went to Mass, and she wasn't healed when the cancer got worse. And finally, it was as though the Lord spoke to her and called her back, and she came to the community that she left. And in fact, she made something of a public proclamation or profession. And she said that she had left because she felt she didn't need anyone, that she had God and that was enough. But the Lord was speaking to her heart and calling her to realize her need for the community. And the priest anointed her the sacrament of the sick, and the community gathered around her, laid on hands, and prayed for healing. And the cancer was instantaneously healed, and after 2 years has never returned. She needed to recognize the body of Christ and her place in the body, that it is not enough, even though it's very important to have a personal relationship with the Lord, we need to have a relationship also with the community of the Lord. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, a very interesting quote. He's speaking, I think, primarily about the Eucharist, and about coming forth to take the body of Christ, and he's saying, do you receive in an unworthy way? And he tells the Corinthians, don't you recognize the body? He says, if you don't recognize the body, you eat and drink your own condemnation. And then he says, no wonder there is sickness among you. You don't recognize the body. And I think in some ways, and maybe primarily, he's talking about the Eucharist. And I think in another way, in a larger sense, he was talking about the community. Don't you recognize the community as the body of Christ? And because you don't, there is sickness among you. The truth is that Jesus mediates his love through our brothers and our sisters. And there is a deep attitude of humility that is needed to go to a brother or a sister or a community and seek prayer, recognizing that those who pray for me are just as weak and just as prone to sickness as I am. Sometimes it is very hard to recognize Jesus in a community, because communities of people are frail, are weak, and fragile. It's part of being human. But that is where Jesus wants to be. That is where Jesus has chosen to make his home. And he says that his power is made more perfect in our human weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It is all part of the incarnation, that within a fragile human community, the Lord Jesus has chosen to dwell. And it is through my brothers and sisters, weak, fragile, sinful, that he mediates to me his love and his healing power. And so in the healing ministry, what we have is the Lord calling us to a deeper sense of his presence within one another, and the fact that he does live in the midst of his community. And he wants us to recognize in a very deep and in a very real and effective way that he is within the community, and that we are ministered to, served in our needs by the church, by his community. I think that this renewed sense of the indwelling of Jesus, of the indwelling spirit of Jesus, is very much part of God's plan for renewal in the church today. The risen, glorified Jesus lives in me. And the risen, glorified Jesus who lives in me reaches out to the suffering Jesus who is in you and calls that suffering Jesus forth to resurrection, to new life, to glory. Jesus in me reaching out to minister to the Jesus in you. But what deep humility and truth it takes to see the risen, glorified Jesus in me. And yet he's there. I think the other reason why God is somehow in his own plan, his own way, chosen to highlight or emphasize the healing ministry in the world today is simply because we are living in a very secular world, where God basically is not being honored. His presence is not reverenced. And I think God almost needs to affirm the fact that he is there, that he loves his people, that he is directly involved in their lives. Even though medicine and medical science do channel the healing of the Lord, I think God wants to go beyond that and become more directly involved through prayer, through people who minister in the name of Jesus. He wants to affirm that he is present in the midst of a secular world that forgets that he's there. He wants to affirm his love to a people who are surrounded by so much unlove, so much negative influence. And yet his word is that I am there and that I love. And I love each and every one. I love you in your need. I love you where you are. And I want to touch. And the minister of healing is one who simply reaches out in the name of the Lord and is very confident in their presence of a loving Father and a loving Savior, and ministers and channels the healing power of the Lord. And God, I think, is very pleased to confirm that faith in himself. And so healing does take place. And as healing takes place, people give glory to God. In almost every healing in Scripture, the ending is the same. The people glorify God. They gave him praise. And they said, truly a great prophet has risen up amongst us. In the affirmation there, that whole sense was that God has not forgotten his people. He is not far away, but he is here. And I think that is the word that the Lord wants to speak. I am here. I am in your midst. And I love you.